become longer, and as the nights become shorter, then invariably what ends up happening is that the amount of Fajr prayer that gets missed becomes much more frequent. That frequency begins to increase. And we don't recognize that actually every time we miss the prayer, even if we make it up, we're digging this hole for ourselves. Right? In the end, Allah is a just Lord. On the day of judgment, if people are to be punished, then everybody will have to be punished equally. What? Just because we found ourselves to be self-righteous, now Allah should forgive us, but then the other person who missed the prayer, he's going to be punished for it? No. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to punish, then he will be fair in his punishment. So we have to be very, very careful in these days, especially when you come into the end of June, when the longest day is and the night is as short as it gets, very, very careful about protecting the Fajr prayer. So we have to be very careful about protecting the Fajr prayer. Now, there's some things that our scholars have outlined for us concerning the treatment of the Fajr prayer that we should be very, very cognizant of, because that will assist us in being more frequent in making that prayer. Okay, the first and foremost thing is that you have to go to bed after the Isha prayer. That's just you have to make this one rule in your life. All right, in the case of winter, it's a little bit easier. You can wait till the second third of the night, right, till the beginning of the second third of the night to go to bed. But in the summer, people like to stay up a little bit later. So what ends up happening is somebody prays the Isha prayer at 10:30 and then they stay up till 1. Once you stay up till 1, you're digging a hole for yourself. You're playing with hellfire. For what purpose are we staying up till 1? Right? Then, when we don't get up in the morning, of course, what do you expect? If a person goes to sleep at 1, what do you expect the probability is of that person waking up? What do you expect the probability is of that person waking up? Obviously, the person is decreasing the chance of them waking up significantly. So we have to be very, very particular in the summer months that we go to sleep at an appropriate time. Now, that's the first thing. The second thing is that before you go to bed, you cannot overload your circuits. What does that mean? See, what happens is, I'll tell you the science behind sleep. This is the science, not the revelation behind sleep, but what scientists say about sleep, what the understanding of sleep is. Sleep is basically the way by which a human being erases their day. All right? Now, you know that in a computer, for example, right? If you talk about computers, what happens is the more you use the computer, the more you fragment your disk drive. All right? Then they have this thing called the defragmenter. It straightens up the drive. It allows everything to reset itself properly. So what happens is you defragment the drive. It places all the files in the proper place. And then when you need to access them, you can access them much more quickly. So you can say that sleep is a defragmenting process for us. What happens is we interact with the world throughout the day. We take in all these inputs, right? And then after we've taken in all those inputs, we go to bed and all of that unwinds itself. Now, sometimes it unwinds itself in dreams that people see. You know, sometimes somebody will go to bed and all the craziness from the day will reveal itself in dreams. But often it's all just happening in a way that we don't even perceive. So, and you'll see that if you deprive people of sleep, they begin to go crazy because they can't take all that input. And this is how some of the torturing occurs when people want to torture someone. They keep, they take